Welcome to Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Join us every Sabbath on Zion Road Radio for a look at the life, deeds, and words of Yeshua Messiah and his followers from the Torah-centric Hebraic perspective they were originally lived and written in. Today's program is taken from John chapter 7, verse 37 through chapter 8, verse 11. Please get out your Bible and follow along. What ceremony was going on at the temple on the last great day of Sukkot when Yeshua cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink"? What is the significance of Messiah's cry and its timing on the last great day of Sukkot? How does the Holy Spirit connect with the promise given in Deuteronomy chapter 11 of a former and latter rain? According to biblical prophecy, what is the former and latter rain? When does the Bible say the former rain happened? And when does it say the latter rain will occur? What is the purpose of the latter rain? Who does the latter rain involve? And what must happen first? Stay tuned throughout today's program for Eliyahu Ben David's insight on these questions and more. And now, here's Eliyahu Ben David.
Shabbat Shalom, friends. Great to have you with us once again. And we're going to be talking about living water. This is from John chapter 7. And we know it's a real thing. You know, we look and we see this living water flowing out of people around us that know Him. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's something that just keeps expanding, because when people have His living water within, they can't stop it from flowing. It's going to just keep flowing out to others. I think this is great timing, because the events we're talking about in John chapter 7 occurred on Sukkot, Yeshua's last Sukkot. And as you know, we're only weeks away from our own Sukkot. So I think you'll find this very interesting and timely. Well, I wanted to take a look at some thoughts about the living water. And rather than go through all the verses, I have a specific focus that I want to talk about. And the verses that we want to talk about here are these same verses about living water. It says, "Now on the last and greatest day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from within him will flow rivers of living water.'" But he said this about the Spirit, which those believing in him were to receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua wasn't yet glorified. Well, I had a few thoughts about this. There was this pouring of the water ceremony. And this is when Yeshua made this amazing statement about the water. It was because of this pouring of the water ceremony on the last great day of Sukkot. And one of the quotes about this ceremony, it said, an expression of dependence upon God to pour out his blessing of rain upon the land. That's what this was about, this pouring of the water on Sukkot, this ceremony. What's interesting about this is this particular ceremony was not accepted by all the various factions among the Jews, and for the simple reason that this ceremony is not required in Scripture. When you read the verses about Sukkot, you won't see anything about this particular ceremony. And yet, if you think about it, it really makes sense, because Sukkot came basically at the end of the agricultural year. It's also called the Feast of Ingathering. And it comes when all of the harvest has been brought in. And so this is the last feast on the seventh month. So you finish all the harvest, you've had the feast on this last great day. This is the last great day of the feast. What is ahead? Well, this whole agricultural cycle is going to start again. And what does it require? Water. Requires rain. And where is Israel to get that? Well, from Yahweh. Here's what Yahweh himself said about this in Deuteronomy chapter 11. This is part of the covenant. He said, it shall happen if you shall listen diligently to my commandments, which I command you this day, to love Yahweh your Elohim, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give the rain of your land in its season, the former rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. So I think this is very interesting, because these verses, while they do talk about keeping the commandments, they point out what that's really about is loving Yahweh. This is why you keep the commandments, because you love Yahweh and you're serving him with your whole heart. This is what Yahweh has always wanted. He's never looked for a checklist of things that you can check off and then feel like you're righteous. The commandments have always been about loving him. Without that motivation, we really can't keep the commandments. And so Yahweh mentions that, and he says, if you'll do that, and if you'll serve him with his whole heart, then he will pour out the rain on the land, the former rain and the latter rain. So this is really the commandment about water. It's about the former rain and the latter rain. And by doing this ceremony with pouring out the water at the end of Sukkot, this is essentially raising the covenant up before Yahweh, specifically these verses, and this promise to Israel about the former rain and the latter rain. And this is really very interesting about the former rain and the latter rain. In Israel, the former rains came in the autumn, basically between October and November on the modern calendar. So this followed Sukkot very soon, if the rains came. And this is called the former because that would be of the former year. In other words, it's the rains come, the former rains come in the former year, beginning in the fall, and then the latter rain comes in the spring of the new year, or the present year, in other words. So when you get to this time period of Sukkot, you're going to really need that rain to come in the winter if you're going to have a beginning of the crops when the time comes in the spring. And so the pouring of the water ceremony invoked Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 14, that promise of the former and the latter rain from Yahweh. And this is so interesting because when you understand what was happening with this water ceremony, what they're doing is lifting up this prayer, in a sense, through this ceremony to Yahweh for the latter, or rather the former and the latter rain. Yeshua then stands up and cries out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." When he says that, who is he saying that he is? He's answering them, isn't he? In those words, he's telling them he is Elohim of the covenant, and he is answering them. They've, in a sense, raised these verses of the covenant, and he is answering them. You can see why it caused such a stir. It's huge. It's really such a huge thing. Such a huge thing. It says there, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And it also says, but he said this about the Spirit, which those believing in him were to receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua wasn't yet glorified. Now, this is kind of interesting, because in the covenant, what we were just looking at in Deuteronomy, it's talking about the former rain and the latter rain upon the land, the literal rain. And yet, we know that in the Torah, there are levels of meaning. And when we look at this and we realize Yeshua, in talking about this water, he's really talking about the Spirit. Consistently, this would be true through the scriptures, wouldn't it? When it talks about the former rain and the latter rain, that while it has an actual fulfillment in watering the land of Israel, it also has a spiritual fulfillment having to do with the Holy Spirit watering the inner man of the servants of God. And Yeshua is saying this, he is looking forward to this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So here they're pouring out their water, and he's really preparing to pour out his water, which happened, by the way, shortly after this. He said this about the Spirit, which those believing in him were to receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua wasn't yet glorified. Well, think about John writing this. He had the whole experience, not only what he was writing here in John, but of course he's writing much later when all of this had happened. So what really is the case here, when you look at the covenant, what the ceremony was about, and what Yeshua said, is that Yeshua would answer with a former and a latter rain of the Holy Spirit. So they're just asking for the actual former and latter rain, but he is talking about a latter and former rain of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, 4 through 5, it talks about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua had not yet ascended into heaven. And he had essentially been with them for a period of about 40 days after his resurrection. We will get into this as we continue on. But one of the last things he said to them before he departed and actually returned to heaven to be glorified is, he said, "Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you heard from me, For John indeed immersed in water, but you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So again, he's using this picture of water, talking about immersion. He's going to immerse them in living water in the Holy Spirit. And they're to wait there in Jerusalem until that happens. Well, as we go on in the story in the book of Acts, we have Yeshua's family, the apostles, and other disciples waiting there in an upper room in Jerusalem praying. And in chapter 2, 1 through 4, it tells us what happened. It says, now when the day of Shavuot had come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came from the sky a sound like the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Tongues like fire appeared and were distributed to them, and one sat on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. So here was that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Yeshua had spoken about at that last Sukkot, which was a little more than 6 months earlier, more like 7 months now at Shavuot. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. On that particular occasion, they were given gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one gift that they all were given at that time was the ability to speak in other languages. As we continue with the story, we find out the reason why. Because it's Shavuot, you've got people from all over the Roman Empire who are believers that have come there to Jerusalem to worship. And those believers who were filled with the Holy Spirit were able to talk to those people in their own language in order to tell them what had happened there in Jerusalem, what had happened with Yeshua and who he was, so that they could be saved. And the very first day, 3,000 of them were saved. Can you imagine how much that one gift really did on that day? How could they possibly have reached all those people, except they were able to talk to them in their own language? Wonderful, wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And other gifts were given too, but we're not going to go into all those gifts. We want to look more at this living water that was poured out. This occasion that we're looking at, when we look back to the first century and we see this outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that Shavuot immediately following the death, resurrection, and glorification of Yeshua, is the former rain. And this was unknowingly to the participants an invocation, or had been invoked by their water pouring ceremony, seeking the Torah to be fulfilled in regards to the water. And Yeshua fulfilled it by pouring out the Holy Spirit after he was glorified. Pretty amazing. So, you know, sometimes Yahweh does this. He promises to give us something, but then in the fulfillment, he gives us something even greater and better of that same thing. And that's what happened here. Peter talked about this, and he explained this outpouring of the Spirit as the start of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Here in the book of Acts, you can read Peter's rather lengthy and extensive talk to the gathered people there, explaining to them who Yeshua is and the opportunity that is open before them. But we're just going to look at some individual points because of the shortness of the time, but This is well worth looking into all of this. Here's a quote. This is what has been spoken through the prophet Joel. It will be in the last days, says Elohim, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and so on. He's pointing to the prophecy of Joel chapter 2 to explain to those listening this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we continue along, this becomes important to us. Joel 2:23 says this, part of that same prophecy there in Joel 2. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh, your Elohim, for he gives you the former rain in just measure, and he causes the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain as before. So, if Joel chapter 2 applies back in the first century to that outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the former rain, then I think it's evident that there is another outpouring of the Holy Spirit yet to come after that, referred to here as the latter rain. And that is a second great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There are other passages that some look to and see this same phenomenon of a latter rain of the Spirit. For instance, some folks see this in Zechariah 10, verse 1, where it says, ask of Yahweh rain in the springtime. Yahweh who makes storm clouds and he gives rain showers to everyone for the plants in the field. And they say, just as there's a literal fulfillment of this, there is also a spiritual fulfillment to come. This idea is not a new idea. In fact, there was a movement called the Latter Rain Movement, basically based on this idea that the outpouring at Shavuot was the former rain. And then there's another outpouring to come later, which is the latter rain. And you might be somewhat familiar with this. I have a quote from David Wilkerson. Perhaps some of you have heard of him. And in 1995, he commented about this verse and talked about this latter rain that the verse talks about, and also that movement. He says, I quote now David Wilkerson, Zechariah 12:10 is the promised latter rain that must precede the final harvest. The Lord is waiting patiently until his last rain is outpoured because it will produce the final harvest. In the early part of this century, a Pentecostal movement began in Canada called the Latter Rain Movement. It lasted perhaps 40 or 50 years. Today, only a few Latter Rain churches remain. Yet those who were involved in that movement were convinced they were experiencing the Spirit's great final outpouring. Many said, this is it. We're seeing Zechariah 12:10 come to pass. But the movement dissipated, and other such movements have come and gone also. He continues. Why? It is because they were not focused on the harvest. Many so-called Holy Ghost movements vanished quickly because they were man-centered, focusing on gifts, blessings, self-improvement, happiness, dancing, laughing, roaring, barking, or any other manifestation attributed to the Holy Ghost is all flesh unless it produces a brokenheartedness for the lost and unsaved. If it is truly of the Spirit, it will result in a hunger and inclination to reach the dying world. So clearly these various movements that came some time ago based on this idea of the latter rain. They came, they went. They weren't it. So does that mean that the latter rain is not a biblical idea? Doesn't really mean that. It means that what they were claiming to be the latter rain simply wasn't. That was the case. And David Wilkerson believes it's because they weren't focused on the harvest. Because obviously rain is to produce a harvest, right? That's what rain is about, producing a harvest. And yet so many that were involved in that movement were a lot more about themselves than they were about the harvest. So that's what David Wilkerson is talking about. However, there's more to it than just the issue of the harvest, which I think is probably valid. Let's look at Zechariah 10 again now. Now, we've already read verse 1, but actually, other portions of Zechariah 10 tell us that it actually applies to the remnant of Israel. And this is why it didn't happen with these groups, because they had no knowledge even of the remnant of Israel, and neither did David Wilkerson, so far as I know. For instance, look at verse 6 through 9 here in Zechariah 10. Yahweh says, I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them back, for I have mercy on them, and they will be as though I had not cast them off. This is talking about the remnant in the last days, isn't it? And it goes on here. It says, I will signal for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. I will sow them among the peoples, and they will remember me in far countries, and they will live with their children and will return. So here we are in far countries, and we're remembering him. And we're becoming aware of who we are as the remnant. Is it not very clear that this is what Zechariah 10 is talking about? And therefore, if verse 1 is pointing to a latter rain outpouring, it's very clear that that must be yet ahead soon for the remnant of Israel. But we have more about this. Hosea chapter 6, 1 through 3 also shows that this latter rain actually is involved with the remnant in the final days. And it says, now this is the remnant talking in the last days. Come and let us return to Yahweh, for he has torn us to pieces, and he will bind up our wounds. So this is talking about what he did with ancient Israel when they were unfaithful. He tore them in pieces, literally, and scattered them throughout the world. And yet this is foretelling a time when the remnant will say, let us return. And then it says, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live before him. 2 days, that's 2,000 years. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and people are saying this. The remnant are saying this. Come and let us return to Yahweh. This is in progress right now, just as the scripture foretold. And we know when it says we will live before him, Ezekiel shows this process of these bones and sinews coming together, and essentially Israel standing up and receiving life. In fact, that life, that wind, is the Spirit of God. That's what you see in the prophecy. It also says, he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain that waters the land. That's the latter rain. The latter rain is to fall on the remnant of Israel. That's what it's telling us in Hosea. Let us look again here at Joel. And in Joel chapter 2, which Peter had cited, we notice that. Here's some verses from that. When Yahweh was jealous for his land and had pity on his people, Yahweh answered his people, I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove the northern army far away from you and will drive it into a barren and desolate land, its front into the eastern sea and its back into the western sea, and its stench will come up and its bad smell will rise. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh, for he gives you the former rain in just measure, and he causes the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain, as before. So, I gave a presentation. We have this video in one of our seminars about Joel 2. And you can look at that for the details. But basically, what Joel 2 is telling us about, this northern army, this is mentioned elsewhere, specifically in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37 and 38, as Gog of Magog coming up against Israel. And these verses then suggest that when Yahweh saves his people, and the remnant are already there in the land, according to these prophecies, with the Jews that are there too in the land, and this northern army is going to come up against them, and Yahweh himself is going to defend Israel, and that's why it's talking about this stench coming up, this bad smell, because they're just going to be scattered across the surface of the ground dead, not requiring anything from the armies of Israel whatsoever to destroy them. Yahweh is going to destroy them, and they're going to stink. That's what's going to happen. And this is going to be a sign to the whole world of what they're dealing with, the God of Israel that they are dealing with. And after these events, it says, that's when this rain comes down upon his people. That's when we can expect that latter rain to happen. And as I understand this, this is occurring right at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. So just like with that Sukkot, right after Yeshua's death, resurrection, and glorification, and there's the beginning of this work of the harvest of the nations to bring in the believers from everywhere. At the very end, when we are now facing the last time period, the last 7 years, there's going to be this latter rain upon the remnant in Israel, filling them with his spirit and gifts specific for that time period that we might not even know right now what they're going to be, but it's going to be a powerful outpouring to bring in the final harvest. That's really the picture that we have here that really completes what Yeshua was saying. When he says, come to me and drink, we're going to be telling everybody about this. We're telling them now. But when this time comes and this spirit is poured out in this way with this mighty sign of what Yahweh himself does for his people, this is going to have tremendous power, and many, many people are going to give glory to Yahweh on that day and come to him. And the remnant of Israel will be lifted up before the world as a place to run to as those final days come upon us. So these are the things that we can look forward to. And really what we are preparing ourselves for now, to be there, to be a part of that when that happens, to go home in the remnant Exodus, and to be a part of all these exciting events that will come about as a result of the outpouring of His Spirit, that water being poured out upon us. So I think this is timely that we're looking at this right now. And it's a good time, I think, for us to be praying about these things as we approach Sukkot and around that Sukkot time. Let's pray for the remnant. Let's pray for them to be gathered in. Let's pray for the remnant to get focused. We need to have that kind of focus on Yahweh's will in our life, because there's nothing like this, what's coming up. This is so significant. If you have a chance to be part of this and you don't because you want to play bridge or something else, you're going to miss out on absolutely the most amazing thing that you could possibly imagine, to be involved in that outpouring of the Spirit and that final harvest of the earth. It's going to be amazing. Living water. This is what we get from Yeshua.
You have been listening to Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. That's the end of today's program. The scripture references included in today's program are John chapter 7, verse 37 through chapter 8, verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 through verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through verse 17. Joel chapter 2, verse 18 through verse 31. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 37 and Ezekiel chapter 38. Further teachings and study materials on the Feast of Sukkot, Yeshua as the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua as the King of Israel, the Holy Spirit, immersion in the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the last days, the remnant of Israel, the prophesied return of the believing remnant of Israel throughout Scripture, the terms of the renewed covenant of believing Israel, Gog of Magog and other prophetic events and wars in Scripture, what Scripture indicates about the timing of these events, our free introductory video course, Zion Fast Track, which goes into all the above topics, our verse-by-verse study of the whole Torah, including in-depth information on how the Torah relates to Messiah's teachings, along with many other teachings and topics, can all be found at our membership site, Zion Tabernacle. Sign up is free. Just go to zion.net. That's TSIYON.NET. New programs on the Gospels will be airing every Sabbath right here on Zion Road Radio. Tune in next Shabbat to learn more Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Shabbat Shalom! Cross.
ask for the ancient past.
The Christian church system has claimed that Israel is cast off and done away with. However, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35 through verse 37 says, "Thus says Yahweh, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, says Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says Yahweh, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, then will I also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says Yahweh. The sun is still here. The sea still roars. And the stars still shine." Learn how Yahweh's nation Israel is literally written in the stars as a permanent testimony of our God's commitment to his covenant with Israel. Visit our community site, Zion Tabernacle, and sign up as a free member to view Eliyahu ben David's seminar entitled One Nation Written in the Stars. Now available free of charge as part of Zion Fast Track, our introductory video course. Zion Fast Track will give you the big picture of what God is doing with his remnant nation in this very generation. To sign up and learn more about what other free resources you'll get as a Zion Tabernacle member, go to zion.org and click Join Us. That's tsion.org. Then click Join Us.